We're discussing falling K-12 enrollment in Wisconsin and what that means for one school district, Beloit. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Overall, public school enrollment dipped by about 4,000 students this fall compared to last. The State Department of Public Instruction says it'll have a more nuanced headcount in January. But public school enrollment has not rebounded from last year's 3% drop. Does your child go to public school? Have you seen an enrollment decline in your district? What is your student's class size now? 800-642-1234. Dan Keyser is superintendent of the school district of Beloit. He was named to the position earlier this year after serving as interim and previously directed secondary teaching and learning for the Waukesha School District. Dan, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Good morning. So the school district of Beloit saw a 13% decrease in enrollment from 2019 to 2021. Can you put that into context for us?
Yeah, so putting that into context, that is a dip of about, oh gosh, 400 or 500 students. So you're talking about almost a school. That gives a context. We are a school district of 12 schools, and 12 schools and programs, 13 different entities, because we also partner with Head Start, Early Head Start, and we also have an Even Start and a Fresh Start programs in conjunction with the Blackhawk Technical College and Community Action.
So what's going on there? What factors are contributing to that 400 to 500 student loss?
So, much has been made about the pandemic and just a lot of anxiety with health and safety. But also, what can't be overlooked is we recently had a new independent public charter school open up in Beloit, very close to actually where I am at. And
that's the Lincoln Academy?
Correct. And they have 300, almost 400 students. And we learned this year from DPI that about 360 students that would have been Beloit resident school district students have moved there or are enrolled there. And that is a trend that is concerning, but yet it also is a trend that you see a lot around school districts that do have many charter schools.
Yeah, and so what, what are the decisions around going to a new charter school? What are your parents, considering?
Well, there's a lot to consider. Even though Beloit has this new charter school, we are a tightly packed community with surrounding school districts. We have 7 school districts that are well within a driving radius of our school district. And we also are a very commuter type community. We have many families that live in Beloit and work in other communities. And we also have a lot of families that work in our communities and come to Beloit. And what we are seeing with our open enrollment ends is that some families are choosing to drive their students to Beloit, enroll their students here and while they work, and then they pick up their children at the end of the school day, end of their work day, and head back home.
What about homeschooling? What have you seen there?
It's been interesting doing a little bit of investigating just specifically with the charter school in mind, because they are funded differently than normal open enrollment protocols and practices. We have some students who were homeschooled. They did not attend any public school, and they ended up enrolling at the charter school. So there is a little bit of that, but mainly the large portion of it is open enrolling either to another public school or to a charter school.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Dan Keyser, who is the school district of Beloit superintendent, as we discuss how his district is responding to various challenges, especially in enrollment brought on by the pandemic. You can join in. Is your child enrolled in a public school? Have you seen an enrollment dip? What has been done? What does that mean for classrooms, for teachers? Are you considering homeschooling your child? What goes into that decision? 800-642-1234. Dan, you know, about 80% of parents nationwide who moved their kids out of their typical public school said they plan to return once things were safer. And that survey was conducted last fall in 2020. Do you find that that sentiment is real in your district?
I would say for us, in specifically here in Beloit, we've been very fortunate. In fact, we've had some families tell us specifically that they've enrolled here in the school district of Beloit because of our mitigation factors. We announced at the end of last school year that we were going to implement all of the CDC and DHS mitigation protocols in every school that was not able to have access to the vaccine, meaning staff and students. It was in August that we chose to include our high schools within including universal masking. And that was actually something that reassured a lot of families open enrolling to Beloit, because there were a lot of conversations in surrounding districts about whether they were going to or not going to do certain mitigation measures. We just made it universal at the end of last school year. I think that this is still, we all want to have our normal lives back. But we know that this pandemic is far from over. We are excited and encouraged that the CDC has opened up vaccination down to age 5. And we look forward to seeing more and more students getting vaccinated.
As you follow those CDC guidelines, you know, air exchange and ventilation systems, HVAC systems, has been a huge dollar upgrade, you know, that schools have to look at and are faced with. What are the implications there with updating ventilation?
That has been a concern, and in fact, we've been prioritizing the federal dollars that have been coming to school districts, specifically our school district. We've invested in updating all of our filtration in all of our schools to filter out the COVID virus, and as well as investing in our infrastructure. So last year we updated all of our devices. We were able to pay off our lease payments, and so we were able to take those off our books. We invested over $2 million in new curricular resources for elementary literacy so that we could better address that unfinished teaching and learning from last year. And we also invested in new science curricular resources, a lot more hands-on, a lot more engagement. And we look to partnering with our community or organizations in helping to meet the social emotional needs over and above what we're doing in our schools already.
So what I'm hearing from you is those federal dollars are getting to you, are getting to the school district of Beloit.
They are. With our demographics, we have about 72% students who qualify for free and reduced lunch. Those federal dollars, as they're listed, follow the Title I formula, and so those dollars are coming to us. Now we have what they call the ESSER I and ESSER II dollars. The state is finalizing its ESSER III application with the federal government, and so we look forward to having that come to the school district later this year.
So when you do look at falling enrollment, that also has an impact on your funding formula at the state level, regardless of the federal dollars coming in for pandemic relief. What are the financial implications there for your school district's budget in future years?
It has a huge impact on our budget. I'm already looking at the next biennium budget at the state level, and all the experts are saying this is a unique time where we can't even forecast at the state level what that will be. Most specifically for Beloit, it is attuned to a $3.5 million loss. And that is just the payment that is going to be transferred from our last state aid payment to the charter school. But in addition to that, the way the funding formula is situated, the students that are going to the charter school were counted in our overall membership, which reduced the overall decline enrollment exemption that school districts are afforded when they have declining enrollment, which was another $1.3 million hit to our overall budget. So it had a huge impact and has a long-lasting impact. So we have some important conversations with the board and the community as to what we want to prioritize moving forward.
What are the implications on staffing? Would you need to lay off teachers if you see these, you know, student declines in the hundreds?
Well, we've been extremely fortunate that we've maintained our staffing levels. We've not had to lay off or furlough any staff, but we have just passed our budget for this year, and tonight in our board meeting, that is going to be the conversation. What are our priorities and how we're going to budget for the future? Once we lay out those priorities, we will build a budget that will meet those priorities moving forward. So staffing, programming, external partnerships, all of those things are going to be conversations that we have to engage in.
School District of Beloit Superintendent Dan Keyser with us, sharing his perspective on falling enrollment and what the implications are for his southernmost district in the state. What are your questions about how enrollment affects the funding your child's district receives? Is there a new charter school in your area? Did you switch to a charter or a private in the pandemic? What went into that decision? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're discussing K-12 enrollment declines in the pandemic, what that means for one district in Rock County, the school district of Beloit. Enrollment in Wisconsin public schools has dropped by about 30,000 students since the fall of 2019. How are you feeling the effects in your district? Still time to talk about it. 800-642-1234. Superintendent Dan Keyser is with us for 10 more minutes. Let's bring in Andrew in Palmyra with a perspective. Andrew, hi. What are you thinking? Oh, and Andrew is gone. I guess we don't have Andrew. How about Steve in Sun Prairie? Steve, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You know, I think when I talk to a lot of parents, they're very frustrated with the curriculum. And if they have an opportunity, if their kids are not ingrained into schools like mine are, which are older, they want to look for alternatives. You know, we look at Dane County. There's a group called the Dane County Equity Consortium. It's a consortium of Dane County schools. That's a political organization that pushes critical race theory into the school. Even Lodi is part of it, where coming off the pandemic where they had to cancel the second half of the year because of COVID, rather than having staff development around how to combat the inevitable learning loss, they decided to read a book, So You Want to Talk About Race, which is a political book. So parents are tired of it and are looking for alternatives. Hopefully the superintendent can talk about what they can do specifically to get these parents to have trust in the schools again so they don't have to look for alternatives.
Steve, thank you. And, you know, we've seen the politics have ignited over masking, over when to hold in-person classes, over test scores, over how to be anti-racist. And we've seen, Dan, you know, school board meetings turning nasty and divisive. What is going on? What is your take on this?
There are a lot of issues that are intersecting with the schools, both in the community, from the state of conversations around politics, our health, just even local community issues. I feel strongly that public schools and public school districts exist because their community exists. I feel very strongly that there was a time and a place when every school district was a strong, thriving school district because they listened to their community and built their school district around the values within their community. And I think that we've lost that in our recent times with the age of technology. And don't get me wrong, I am a huge techno buff. I love technology. I love the fact that we can have our students travel across the globe and intersect and interact with people in other countries with hitting the enter key. However, I think that what we've lost in our age of technology is that simple conversation with our families down the street at the farmer's market. And I think during my tenure here in the School District of Beloit, I want us to get back to that heart that we belong because our community exists. And as long as we can start to re-engage in those conversations, I think school districts will find their way to that balance and make sure that we are meeting the needs of our community.
And, you know, on the front of your website, it says that your district stands against all forms of systemic and institutional racism. So show us how you are doing this. How do you put this declarative sentence into action?
In multiple ways. We have a longstanding group called the Equality Committee, which has been made up of both district staff, community members, and even parents and that have been our sounding board. We are a very diverse community. We are roughly about a third Black, a third Hispanic, Latino, Latinx, and a third white. We have a lot of opportunities for dialogue and discussion. And in part, why I applied to come to Beloit was because of the diversity. To me, diversity means opportunity. When you have all like-minded, like individuals in a room, you open up the opportunity to have blind spots. And the nice thing about having a diverse community is those blind spots get challenged each and every day with every conversation. I also want to say that our community partners, having the Boys and Girls Club, the YMCA, Community Action, Blackhawk Technical College, we are having conversations about how best to meet the needs of our students. And as long as our focus can be on students, we are going to be challenging those stereotypes because we have students from all walks of life, all backgrounds, all identities, and we have to meet the needs of each and every one of them as they walk through the door each day.
But, you know, the achievement gap, the reality is the achievement gap between racial groups in Wisconsin is among the largest of any state. And there was one analysis by UW-Milwaukee said African-American and Latinx teachers are rare in Wisconsin. What are you actively doing to address the structural barriers for people of color to get hired, to become teachers, to become administrators like yourself?
That is a great question. And it starts with exactly where we're talking about how do we meet the needs of our diversity, equity, and inclusion. As a white middle-aged male, I have a huge blind spot. I don't know what it means to be female. I don't know what it means to be Black or Latinx. And so if we are going, it is simply not enough anymore for schools and school districts to say we can't find Black educators or Black administrators or Latinx teachers or administrators. what we need to do is we need to have more racialized conversations with people who look different than us and think differently than us, so that we can break through those blind spots and barriers and start. Specifically, what we've done here in Beloit is we've had to look outside ourselves. We've had to partner with organizations that specialize in working with populations of color, Black, Latinx. We are talking about going down to Beloit. At one point, used to go to historically Black college and universities, HBCUs, to do recruiting fairs. And we are looking back to going back to that practice so that we can encourage, recruit, and not only recruit, but retain our staff of color. If they feel like they're welcome, that they're seen, and that they can have a space in our community, they're going to stay. And that's our best recruiting tool.
You know, and many K-12 leaders and districts like yourselves have been working on equity action plans or deepening existing equity plans. Where is Beloit on this continuum? What is, you know, where is Beloit at in this journey?
I think we've had some, we've had in our history some great opportunities where we've made some headway, and we've lost that. I look forward to having conversations again with our community, keeping and re-engaging in practices that were meeting the needs of our community and our school district, but then also exploring new opportunities. And I think in part it is partnering with groups that will help us challenge our beliefs. The biggest thing about being in a community for a long time is that you know the community. The shortcomings about being in a community for a long time is you sometimes lose perspective of what's outside of your community. And so having diversity also means diversity of thought by bringing people from the outside to ask critical questions of what we are doing and why we're doing it, so that we can learn and grow.
Dan, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much. Thank you to the Wisconsin Public Radio and all of your listeners.
Dan Keyser, Superintendent of the School District of Beloit. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.